Good evening, everyone. Identify your ministry. This was originally going to be a five-part seminar. It's now condensed down to three. So, meaning I'm going to have to talk fast, you're going to have to listen fast. I'm just kidding. There are handouts on that back, music stand back there if you are interested. They're just half-sheet pieces of paper handouts if you would like to follow along and take notes. So I'm going to read a verse, and I know you all know these verses, but I want you to finish it for me, okay? And this is Ephesians 4. Pastor Adam was in it this morning on living generously, and it's living generously with your talents. So this is Ephesians chapter 4. You're very familiar with this, the gifts that the Lord gave. Verse 11, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for, say it with me, the work of ministry, okay, the work of ministry. So, to equip the saints for the work of ministry. Who does the work of ministry? The pastors, of course, right? Well, that's kind of how we naturally tend to think, right? And I get a kick out of people. I go to, well, you know, when the Lord called me to ministry, I'm like, wait a minute. Because I'm so used to thinking now that we're all in ministry. If you're a Christian, you're in ministry. And that is actually the foundation I want to work with. I want to give you the foundation for that truth and that claim tonight. So what we're going to cover tonight in this first session, the first third of this seminar, is the foundational works of understanding why we say you are in ministry. And this becomes a vital component of being able to actually do your ministry to which the Lord calls you. So the work of the ministry, the word works, ergon, from which we get the word energy, or energeo, okay, is the verb form. And then the work of the ministry, have an idea what the word ministry there is, what the Greek word? Diakonia, that's right. So for the work of ministry, which means to serve, to render a service, that is the basic understanding of the word ministry or diakonia. Okay, so first of all, then, as we understand the church, the word, the Greek word for church, we know it, ekklesia, meaning what, Russ? What does ekklesia mean? Yes, called out ones. Called. So we're going to be talking about our call. You have a calling. Everyone has a call. So it's so easy for in Christendom and the culture, people think about, well, you know, if you're a pastor, you have a calling. Well, if you work for a production company, you also have a calling. If you are an administrative assistant, you also have a calling. If you are a CEO, you also have a calling. Okay. If you're a teacher, you have a calling. And this is something that we need to understand. So I'm going to borrow from Os Guinness, his book, Rising to the Call. They're available out in the book nook. Strongly recommend this. Highly recommend book. Os is one of my favorite writers and speakers anyway, right? So he's a bit like the William Wilberforce of our time. He's if you could call him a critic, a cultural critic, but it's not like he just sits there and criticizes. He's written so many books that are very, very helpful, and this is one of them. But it's with the understanding that there is a primary call and there's a secondary call, okay? And our primary call, to do that, I want you to turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. So your primary call, let's read Colossians chapter 3. I'm going to read verses 1 to 4. If then you have been raised with Christ, okay, so stop and think for a minute. He's talking to believers. And the if is more like a since, right? So because of things he's said before, if then you've been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things on the earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. That is a beautiful verse. Group of verses. That's a beautiful paragraph. Okay. This is our primary calling. And that's just going along with so many other verses in Scripture. Our primary calling is to Christ. Our primary calling is to Christ. And this is our position. Now, when a lot of people think about ministry, what is my ministry? We're all in ministry. It's very easy, very tempting for us to think, well, to be in ministry, you've got to have a position or you've got to be at a certain place. Or we often think about ministry as something that happens somewhere else. I hope to be able to shatter all of that starting tonight, okay? Because you don't have to have a position other than this one. And what is our position? In Christ. In Christ. You are in Christ. That is your position. Your life is hidden with Christ in God, and that, you know, your citizenship is somewhere other than here. So being in Christ is your prime. So it's, why is it important to understand your first, your primary calling is to Christ? Think about that. Why is that important to begin there? Yeah. Okay. Very good point. It's His ministry. We're parts of His body. And in the ministry that we're going to have, what is the ultimate aim of whatever ministry we might have? Okay? Because, you know, and like we say very commonly here, part of following Jesus is helping others what? Follow Jesus. Part of following Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. So the whole point is God reconciling people to Himself. That's the whole point of all ministry. Now, that doesn't mean that every little thing I do ought to be a presentation of the gospel, right? It is a part of it, but it is, that is your position. And so your primary calling is to Christ. That has to be in place first, or you will never recognize your ministry. Jesus said, "Abide in me, for without me you can do nothing." Okay, so if I'm not in Christ, if I'm not calling myself to Him, and I'm gonna end tonight with a powerful quote that convinces me that someone has been reading my notes. Okay? It's a very, very common saying that I like to give, but then I read this and I thought, he's just saying what I say all the time, only he just said it different. You know? So it's very, very good. So I definitely want to leave you with that tonight. So I'm just piquing your interest right now. All right, so that's your primary calling. Now, if you have a primary calling, there's also a secondary calling. And if your primary calling is to Christ, you must be reconciled to God. That's your primary calling. And that's a calling that we all have in common. Also, our secondary calling is what we all have in common. All right, I'm getting ahead of myself here. Okay, here we go. Our secondary calling is to follow Him. You say, oh man, Rich, I know that. Do you? I'm going to say some things tonight that I think hopefully will really, really challenge us on this, because if our primary calling is our position, which is in Christ, then our secondary calling is our pursuit, which is to follow Him. It is a calling to follow Him. And following Him isn't something that you do at certain points of the day. Okay? And this comes down to Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 to 17. Beginning at verses, and he does the common thing that he does, that Paul does, putting the put off and the put on. To follow Christ means there are certain things that you put off, and those are things that are described by the old nature, your way of life before you were in Christ. Put that off, but now that you have a new nature, and it's so important to understand the replacement principle. He's not asking us just to not do things. The replacement principle is so powerful. And we're not just putting off, but we're putting on. We are replacing old Adamic nature with the behavior of the new nature. And that comes through following Christ. So the put off would be in verses 5 through 9, put to death therefore what is earthly in you, sexual immorality, impurity, passions, evil desires, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. On these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices. Okay, that's the putting off. And then verse 10, this is the putting on. And have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of the Creator. Here there is not Greek, Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. How would you paraphrase, put in today's context, how would you paraphrase verse 11? To some people that's not as obvious today, then that's an unfortunate thing, but that's what he's talking about. There's human labels, human, and we're so quick in our humanity to create labels and put people in all these different categories. What is so important is that we are called to Christ, and therefore everything about our ministry is to, because I am in Christ, my ministry is to invite people to Christ. Now, there's myriad ways that happens. That happens in this room. And I'm not just talking about evangelizing the lost, because part of following Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. All of that is being called to Christ, to follow him. So my ministry in this church, your ministry is, as a follower of Jesus, is to help others follow Jesus. Now, that's a general term. Think with me for a minute. Just think in very practical terms. How might one help another follow Jesus? Assuming they're both Christians, right? How might one help another follow Jesus? Just in very, very practical day-to-day terms. Let's think through this so that it gets the gears turning here a little bit. Being an example, okay? Can you maybe even give me a more specific example? They watch you and they're like, wow, I want to be able to do that kind of thing. So it's a positive peer pressure thing in a lot of ways. Okay. I remember my daughter Lindsay, when she was still living with us back in high school, she was discipled by Candace. Candace Walker, now Spencer, and they got together at Starbucks, and Candace would pray with Lindsay. And Lindsay learned so much about prayer just by listening to Candace. And she came home, and she would just talk about it, right? I'm like, that's amazing. So just an example in helping others follow Jesus. Okay, so being an example, that's one. Talk to me some more. How can you, in very practical fashion, help someone follow Jesus? And that can be done through admonition, or that could be done by example, right? Somebody can be following you. And sometimes it could be just a matter of, and this is important, and I don't want to diminish this by saying it, but just an encouraging word to somebody. And by that, I just mean an encouraging word. People are lonely today. You know, with all the connection that there is, people are lonely, right? And because there's so much about our culture that is geared toward the individual and living in your own little world. The rise and triumph of the modern self is what describes our age today, right? And so a word of encouragement, and I'll never forget, a time when I would write a handwritten note to people and send it to them in the mail, and time again, somebody would come to me and say, Rich, that came at exactly the right time. And I'm like, oh, man, I had no idea, right? But you see, the Holy Spirit does. So little things like that. And this is why I want to think, when we think about ministry, we think about doing something big. No. Let's step back from that a little bit, okay? You are first called to Christ. Secondly, you are called to follow him. And we follow him as community. We follow him as community. And I have a part in your Godward movement. It's not me, Rich Powell, talking as pastor. That's me, Rich Powell, talking as a fellow brother in Christ. I have a part in your Godward movement simply by being a part of the same family. Okay? And so me walking with Christ and that manifesting is an encouragement to you to help you walk with Christ and vice versa. You see what I'm saying there? Listen, folks, that's ministry. That's ministry. Do not discount that. That is powerful ministry, because what we are so tempted to do, particularly in our culture, is to compartmentalize our lives. We're Christians in here, but when we go to work, it's a different thing. Or when we encounter each other in the grocery store, you don't know how to interact with each other because you're not in church. And when you're in church, you use church lingo. But when you meet each other in the grocery store, I grew up with that kind of environment, right? I'm like, that's a compartmentalized life. So when you are walking together, when you're walking in a Godward direction, that very reality is encouraging. It's a ministry to someone else to walk in a Godward direction. Did I see a hand over here, Ken?
Yeah.
Thank you for your ministry, Ken. He's guiding. Ben's got the ministry of encouragement. Do small things in a great way. So expand on that a little bit. How do you give me an example of doing a small thing in a great way. Okay. So it's not token ministry, and you're not doing it just so other people will think well of you, right? So motive, it has a lot to do with motive, doesn't it? Yeah. Small things. Yeah. We should never underestimate the power of doing small things for. What is the definition of the word diakonia? Serve. An act of service. We should not forget that. A key way, you know, if I want to think about what's my ministry, I'm a diakonos. I am a servant. How can I serve other people? That is so contrary to everything that our culture tells us today, which is how can other people or programs serve me? Okay. So that's why it's so important to remember, first of all, your primary calling is that you're called to Christ. It was a beautiful example this morning that Pastor Adam gave in Generous Living, where, you know, they're in the upper room and they're about to have the Lord's Supper. And when, you know, guests come and they gather around a table, there's usually a servant there to wash people's feet. And all of the disciples were thinking what? They weren't thinking about who can I serve. They were thinking about who's going to sit next to him, who's going to be greatest in his kingdom. And so what does Jesus do? He washes their feet. We are called to Christ. And if I'm a follower of Christ, I will behave like him. I will think like him, right? So think of when you see people, how can I serve? What can I do to serve you? Very, very powerful. So that's the putting off and the putting on. So what I just want to say is this. Because he says, you know, and the putting on continues. Let me continue. I love these verses. Verse 12. Put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgive each other as the Lord has forgiven you. How does that relate to you are first called to Christ? Your primary calling. How does that relate to, how does verse 12 and 13 relate to your primary calling? Why should you forgive? Because you've been forgiven. Whatever you should be like, whatever you should do, is anchored in the person of God and who he is and what he's done. That defines my ministry. I am first called to him, and then I am called to follow him. Verse 14, and above all, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you are called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart to God. And whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Do you see ministry in that? If you are following Christ and by his grace, I'm not asking you to be perfect in these things. This is the standard to which we are called because this is all the character of Christ. So if God is calling me and moving me towards the standard of Jesus Christ, which by the way is what is communicated in Ephesians chapter 4. So we all come to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Okay. My movement in that direction is a powerful encouragement to other people to do the same. That's ministry, folks. Do not discount that. Do not discount that. So, this is how I describe what we have in verses 5 through 17. We all talk about full-time ministry, right? We all talk about being in ministry. And those people that are called to ministry, we see them as people that are in full-time ministry. But we're all in ministry. What I think is this is telling us is that we are all called to be full-time Christians. Full-time Christians. You really want to be in ministry? It starts with being a full-time Christian. That is the work that God's going to do in your life. Versus, you know, because we're servants, right? We're his servants. We are surrendered to him. And that as opposed to Christ just simply being an additive to my life. What does an additive mean? Yeah. You add on to prolong life, to make it function better or something like that. The adversary, that's a good point, Sherry, the adversary of your soul and your own flesh demand that Jesus be nothing more than an additive to your life. Okay? You can't have ministry if that's what your walk of faith is. So he is calling us to be full-time Christians, and I think that's where we really, really need to focus first is to be a full-time Christian in all that I do. Now, having said that, I'm here. Here's the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, okay? This is my journey through this life. I will not be here until when? When I am with Christ face to face. That's the only time that I will be here. 1 John, right? We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. So I'm here right now, and I'm going like this. Now, which my trajectory should be this. Now, does it mean it's a perfect straight line like this? It's not, because if you think yours is, you're lying to yourself, okay? There are dips. There are ups and there are times when you're distracted. There's times when you're discouraged. There's times when you're drifting a little bit. Okay? All of that is part of being human. It's the flesh versus the spirit struggle. So we recognize that. But the whole point is that there is a trajectory going this way. You know what I mean by that? Okay? There's going to be, you know, but it's kind of like my retirement account. You know, so it doesn't drift in a positive direction. You're actually very, very, very true. So Mark Labberton, in his book, I mentioned Os Guinness's Rising to the Call. Mark Labberton's book is called Called. I always take the sleeves off. I don't like sleeves on books. They get in my way. And when I hold it, the book slides out of it, right? So I take the sleeves off. But anyway, so you really can't see what the book looks like. It's nice white. But it's called Called, Mark Labberton. And he says this, and this is in line with what Os Guinness calls your secondary calling. Your primary calling is to Christ, to a person. You are called to a person, relationship with him. And then your secondary calling is to follow him, okay? And here's what Mark Labberton says. The vocation of every Christian is to live as a follower of Jesus today. In every aspect of life, in small and large acts, with family, neighbors, and enemies, we are to seek to live out the grace and truth of Jesus. This is our vocation, our calling today. Yeah, no, sure, sure, Fran or Frank. You know, we added a C on there, so it's Frank now, right? So, and Oz says something very, very similar to that. He says our primary calling as followers of Christ is by Him, to Him, and for Him. First and foremost, our secondary calling, considering it who God is as sovereign, is that everyone, everywhere, and in everything should think, speak, live, and act entirely for Him. So, thank you for helping me out there, buddy. I'm just not keeping up, and buddy's doing it for me. So, all right. So, your secondary calling, and this is where it's important understanding of us being the elect of God. Look again at Colossians chapter 3, in verse 12. Put on then, as God's chosen ones. So he's saying this in the context of our calling, our position, our primary and our secondary calling. Our primary calling is to Christ. Our secondary calling is to follow Christ. Okay? In that context, put on then as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Here's my take on this, all right? When he says God's chosen ones, that is synonymous with us being holy and beloved. I don't think he's saying three different things there. I think he's saying you're chosen, that means you're holy and beloved. Holy, why? Because you're in Christ. You have His righteousness. You are set apart unto God. You're not common humanity. You are in Christ. You are a child of God, holy and beloved. Meaning what? There is not anything you can do to make Him love you more or less. You are beloved, period. Why? Because you're in Christ. Now, that is a different level of love than for God so loved the world. Okay? Now, John 3:16 is still John 3:16, but in Christ you are holy and beloved. You are set apart with the righteousness of Christ, and you are beloved in the sense that there is nothing you can do to make Him love you more or less. Okay? So as the elect of God, he says, put on then compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, bearing with one another, and it goes on. The list goes on. But as the elect of God, we have a purpose. Now, in the context of talking about calling, talking about our ministry, what is my ministry? What am I called to as ministry? In Christ, you have a particular purpose. You are a minister of reconciliation. We're going to talk about this later on. We're going to define that a little more in succeeding sessions of this seminar. But what is your purpose as one who is in Christ? We've talked about it already. Part of following Jesus is helping others follow Jesus. Okay? So your primary calling is to Christ. Your secondary calling is to follow Christ. And you following Christ is in itself ministry. Do not underestimate. Do not sideline that. Okay? Following Christ is in itself ministry. Because you're doing it in the context of other people. Because if I'm not following Christ, if I don't see my calling as that of following Christ and I just simply want to do ministry, but I'm not following Christ, then you're going to be sending very confusing messages. Right? And it begins with the little things, doesn't it? Right? In all the little things of life, every day, day to day. Because otherwise, you're going to be living some cognitive dissonance and you're going to be confusing other people, right? Because I say this and I proclaim this, but I'm living this, right? And that's just plumb confusing, not only to other people, but it's confusing to you as well, right? So we have to begin here. We have to begin here. Your primary calling is to Christ. Your secondary calling is to follow Christ. Again, Mark Glass. So as the elect of God, as the chosen of God, you have a purpose. You have a purpose. That is to follow him. And as you follow him, you are drawing other people to him. All right? And for that purpose, God gives you his presence, the Holy Spirit. You shall, Acts 1:8, you can probably all recite it. You shall receive what? Power after what? The Holy Spirit comes upon you. Okay? Why does he give us his Holy Spirit, the presence of his Holy Spirit? To do the work of ministry. To do the work of ministry. So he gives us a purpose, and for that he gives us his presence, and he gives us his power, and he gives us his protection. Romans 8. All of that is what goes into being the chosen ones of God. It's a status. It's a status. This is who God thinks I am. This is how God views me. And I am in the grip of his grace and operating in his power. Okay? So I want to look, let's look at some positions and titles. Some of these verses have already been mentioned, but we can look at these. Positions and titles. First of all, Matthew 5. Just read this. And what is our position? Or what is our position? What title does the Lord give us, his followers, in these verses? You are the light of the world. How's that for a position? How's that for a title? You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Contrast and contact. And this all has to do with continuing the mission that Christ has established for us. Yeah. Light and salt. Okay, contact and contrast. Light is about contrast, okay? And salt is about contact. I like Rebecca Manley Pippert. She wrote a book called Out of the Salt Shaker and Into the World. Listen, this is the salt shaker. Okay? We were not called to just do ministry in here or be Christians in here. We have a salt shaker on our table. What good is that salt if all it does is just sit in the salt shaker? It looks pretty. That's about all it can do. And just like a major ship built, right? A major ship is safest where? In harbor. But it wasn't built for that, was it? Okay. So we need to get out of the salt shaker and into the world. That's contact. Salt is only effective by contact and contrast. And that's the light. In today's society, how do you be? Because I was just talking with a young woman today who found out she is working for something that is ostensibly a Christian ministry, and this person that she is going to be working with, well, he introduced her to his boyfriend. Now, there's a challenge, right? How are you going to be salt? How are you going to be light, contrast, and salt at the same time? So there, the salt is there, right? There's the contact. But it's not going to be any good if it's not salty or if the light is darkness, right? And the light becomes darkness very quickly when that light starts acting and thinking and talking just like the darkness, or telling the darkness that you're okay as darkness. That's a challenge. See, there's ministry there. There's ministry. And I think of Allison Conover. You remember Scott and Debbie Kishon. Remember, they are members of our church. They're care group leaders. Scott and Debbie Kishonik, they're up in Lafayette, Indiana at a counseling conference right now. But their daughter, Allison, went to North Carolina School of the Arts. It is a dark place. And she said it was a dark place. But she had some friends. She had a small group of friends. And you know, and they all had names for each other. Do you know what they called her? The girl with a tattoo who loves God. That was her title. That was her reputation. And did you know she, by being salt and light, had a profound influence on them? one of the friends in her group was a person that was trying to transition from one gender to the other. And because of her influence, that person went back to detransitioning. Okay. Now, it doesn't, you know, being salt and light, there is nothing about us, you know, the doctrine of separation. We need to just stay away from the world. No, that's not ministry, okay? Because anybody who's in the church, we all are a work in progress, aren't we? So we, by me following Jesus in your presence, that in itself is ministry. So that's why I must recognize that my first calling is to Jesus, is to him, the person. And as I am drawn to him, as I move towards him and move in a Godward direction, in your presence, that in itself is ministry. And then as I follow him, that's by example, that's by service, service to others. And even showing up as light in a very dark place while recognizing that sometimes that darkness is going to curse you. Okay? So all of that goes in there. So, but this is why, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, the chosen of God, holy and beloved, this is our purpose. And for that purpose, he gives us his presence, and he gives us his power, and he gives us his protection for our ministry, for the ministry, for the mission to which he's called us. So let's go back to these positions and titles. Matthew 5, verses 13 to 16. All right, so we talked, our title here is we're the light of the world. We are the salt of the earth. That's a title. It's also a job description when you think about it, okay? And let's go on to John 13, 35. What is our title in this brief verse? What does a disciple mean? A committed follower. Yep, a committed follower, a disciple. And all will know that you are my disciples. Okay, so we are followers of Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17, this is easy. What's our... Second Corinthians 5:17, if anyone is in Christ, he is... Right? So in Christ, that's your primary calling, right? To him. And if you are in Christ, you are new creation. That's a position. That's a reality about you. You are a new creation. That doesn't mean everything about you is perfect. It means you are a work in progress, and it means you have become a partaker of the divine nature. And that means there is life in you where life did not exist before. All of that, all of those things are true. Ephesians 2:10, what is our title or our position in Ephesians 2:10? His workmanship. And there's another one, I think. Created, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Created in Christ Jesus. His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. Okay. So everything we're talking about, all the small stuff we're talking about today, following Jesus in the day-to-day, being a full-time Christian, all of that is under the category of good works. Colossians 3:12, already talked about that, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Colossians 3:12. Titus 2:14. What is our title according to this verse? A people for his own possession. We belong to him. We are his people. So if you're looking for titles or positions in order to be able to have ministry, here it is. This is it. Okay. I love this one. I love this one. There's a few answers available in these verses, okay? What is our titles in this verse? A chosen race. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for his own possession. There it is again. All right? Who once were not a people, but now you are God's people, and we have received mercy. That's lofty, folks. That is really, really lofty. So Again, that is our title, that is our position. All okay. Winding it down here, last thoughts. The inference of everything we just covered, that title, that position, is this: being precedes doing. Being precedes doing. And that's gonna lead us into the final thought I want to leave you with tonight. It's from Oswald Chambers. And the state, what is my statement that I love to repeat all the time? I say it all the time. Doing things for God is not the same as walking with God. I say that all the time. That has revolutionized my life. Because I've seen it happen so many times. People who are so busy for God, and then they take the dive off the deep end morally. Why? Because they were not walking with God. You can be busy for God and not walking with Him. And listen to me, that is not ministry. Because your primary calling is what? To Christ. And your secondary calling is to what? Follow Him. Here it is, Oswald Chambers. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for Him. The greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service for Him. The one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not a call to do something for Him. You see, I would say he's been reading my notes, but he lived long before I did. So, chew on that for a moment, folks. Why is this significant? Why is this important for us to remember? That can be a tough pill to swallow, can it? Did Jesus say something like that? He kind of did. In that day, many will come to me and say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do this and this and this and this?" And He will say what? "Depart from me, I never knew you." We have to begin with the understanding that our primary calling is to Christ. Our secondary calling is to follow Him. And your ministry begins there. Because following Christ in the context of other people is ministry. And if you can't follow Christ in the context of His family, why do you think you can have ministry somewhere else? And so that's where the greatest competitor of devotion to Jesus is service. That is an astounding statement. Because I can very, very easily think I'm doing, and this is what legalism does, right? What are you doing? I am doing this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing this. And my Christian walk can be a list of all the things I'm doing. And I can be doing all the things a good Christian is supposed to be doing and not know Christ. And I actually had a conversation with a young man. He was already had, you know, 4 kids and everything, but he actually confessed that. And he grew up in a Christian home. I did all the right things. I was always at church and I went on the right trips and this and that and this and that. But I didn't know God. That's what religion does, but that's what legalism can do, or just religion can do, because it's all about me doing the things that I'm supposed to do without having come to Christ. And that's the whole point. That's where ministry has to begin. Okay? The greatest competitor for devotion to Jesus is service for Him. The one aim of the call of God is the satisfaction of God, not a call to do something for Him. That'll get you to stop and think, won't it? So, yeah, let's make sure that in our walk of faith, in our ministry, we're not just scrambling around thinking, okay, I want to do this, and I want to do this, and I want to do this, because you can become so busy doing stuff that you're not walking with Him. And it could be possible that you got started the wrong way, and you just associated with the church, and you're doing all the things a Christian is supposed to do, but you don't know him. That's scary. Because it's very possible for that to happen. And let's make sure that we in the church don't present it that way. We don't make that opportunity. We don't encourage that environment where people become so busy that they don't even have time to walk with God. Very easy to do that. So, I want to stop there tonight and then just start building on that in the next three sessions. I mean, next Sunday night, and then after next Sunday, then we have the Lord's Table, the last Sunday night of February, and then the first Sunday night of March will be the concluding session of this, because then I'm off to Brazil. So, questions, comments as we conclude tonight? Insights? Examples? Speed it up to speed 78. Anybody here under 40 that knows what she's talking about? It's like,
you're not going at the speed of New York.
Am I talking too fast?
No.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. Any questions or insights or comments before we conclude tonight? Prayer. Okay. Then would you please stand with me and we'll close in a word of prayer tonight. Father, we confess that in our human society, all accolades are built around performance. And Father, that is not how your grace works in the economy of your kingdom. We acknowledge, we confess tonight that doing, being precedes doing. And our primary calling is to Christ. And that has to be in place. That is our position, to be in Christ. And the outflow of that is our secondary calling, that we are followers of Christ. Help us to understand, Father, that following Christ as a full-time Christian, rescue us, Father, from compartmentalizing our lives. We all have a tendency to do that, Father. It's way too easy for us to do that. Rescue us from that, I pray, Father. That we indeed will be full-time Christians, followers of Jesus in every aspect of life, in every moment of the day. And Father, help us to understand that as we follow Christ, in the context of the community, that that in itself is ministry. Father, I pray that you would help us to grasp this, because we seek to glorify you. We want to know, we want to be servants, we want to be ministers. But Lord, it's far too easy to just jump over the foundation and just start building on the sand. Father, I pray that you would grip our hearts tonight as followers of Jesus, to be committed to that, to doing small things in a great way, day to day, because we do them in service for you. Thank you for that joy and that privilege, and that high calling. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's be dismissed.